All right.
Your answer before you start.
Okay. Tonight we're going to start the Rambam Hilchos Meiser, Perek Yud Beis, Chapter 12, Halacha Yud Dalid. Going back to Shelley's question on the beginning of the Perek. I know he'll be here. On the beginning of the Perek, we're talking about when the Amoretz tells the Jew on Shabbos that he tithed this. And was troubling Shelley that and others that we believe him that the Jew could eat on Shabbos, but we don't believe him for Matzah Shabbos. And Shelley's saying, if we already believe him for Shabbos, it's the same crops. Why should there be less believability? So we try to answer that. First of all, that there was a number of factors that we applied. There's really three factors towards the leniency. Number one, Demai is a chumra to begin with, a drabbanan, because most amaratzim give it. A. B, the, what was the other aspect? There's aspect of kavod Shabbos, being able to enjoy the Shabbos, and which that's a reason to be lenient for them.
Doesn't help after Shabbos.
But that doesn't help for after Shabbos. What was the third thing we mentioned? What?
You wouldn't lie on Shabbos.
No. Oh, yeah. The other thing is that they don't lie on Shabbos, right? Those are the three things. So Shelley said, okay, but so we were pushing the covered Shabbos is that aspect, and Shelley wasn't buying it. He says, well, so, although it makes sense to me, but he still, but anyway, so I figured, okay, so I have a set of Rav Kanievsky's commentary on the Rambam Seder Zeroyim. So I looked it up, and he says like this. He says, although it says that they don't lie on Shabbos, he says that's not enough, a complete reason to rely on them for Matzah Shabbos. Why? He says, because they're Amaratzim, who are, even in those Amaratzim, they're not all afraid from lying on Shabbos. In other words, when we say they don't lie on Shabbos, that's also not a 100% across the board Amaretz thing.
You still believe them because it's a...
In other words, when we say they don't lie on Shabbos, it's not 100% Amaratzim don't lie. Most of them, let's say. But it's not for sure.
So we're not so confident.
So now we've got a whole bunch of things going on over here. So therefore, it's not enough that they don't lie on Shabbos. Because they still might. There's some who might. So then we have to add the covered Shabbos aspect. So together with covered Shabbos, it's okay. But after Shabbos, since they still might lie, okay, and on top, and the more will lie. First of all, even though the Matzah Shabbos is relying on Shabbos, yeah. But it's still not all of them will tell the truth. There'll be some who won't tell the truth. And now I don't have what to connect. That is for covered Shabbos, so that's why we make that difference. I hope that will make you happy.
Thank you for taking okay, the time so, to look it up.
Okay,
no, it is good. Okay, I can see the difference.
Okay, good. So we got that one out of the way, and everybody else who wasn't here. But the main thing is you're the one who bothered it the most, so you're the one who deserves to hear it. Okay, we're moving on to Yud Dalid, and we're talking again about the poor. When is their believability of the Amoretz to suggest, for example, that he's an Oni, and he says, well, this I had as Leket, Shikha, and Peah. And we'll believe him only with the assumption that it's the right timing. That's the time of Leket, Shikha, Peah, and only the direct raw material, and not that it's gone through another process. So we're going to explain a few. This is going to continue this idea in Halacha Yudal. It's just a bunch of detailed of this. Ne'amonim, this Amoretz is also believed to say that he got the, Leket Shikapeya, al ha-so'orez shel orez. It's raw stalks of rice. If he has picked up raw stalks of rice and he says that this was Matnas Aniyim, we believe him. But ve'ein emon alav, bein chai u'bein mevushal. We don't believe if what he's showing us is, here chai means peeled or cooked. Because that's been another step of processing, and we're not going to assume that the owner did it for him. Similarly, Nemonim al Hapol, they're believed about beans before they could be ground or peeled. But Ve'ein Nemonim al Agrisim, but they're not believed for beans that have been peeled and ground up. Bein Chaim, Bein Mevushalm. That's what it means. It doesn't matter if it's peeled or if it's cooked, whatever. These are all just examples of it going through further processes. Now, interesting, though, this is a little bit different coming up here, but they are ne'amonim al Hashem en lomar, they're believed to say about oil, shel ma'aser anihu, that's for ma'aser anihu. Now, you're going to ask, wait a minute, that seems to be pretty processed. That's not just olives. So the answer is that the custom of people was to give their ma'aser sheni once it was olive, once it's oil. That was the standard as opposed to other raw material, so that's why that's not unusual. However, but they're not believed about olives that have been from Peya. What's that going on? It's ground up olives of Peya. They're not believed on that. All right. Nemonim ala yorchai. They're believed if they're bringing raw vegetables. Velomavushal, but not cooked. Unless it was a little bit of cooked. Why a little bit of cooked? Commentaries say because sometimes a balabais, when he's cooking vegetables, he'll remember that he forgot to tithe ma'aser ani. He's got soup. So what he'll do is he'll call an ani over and give him a little bit of soup. That's not unusual. So therefore, if the ani has a little bit of soup and he says this has been tithed, we'll believe. If it's a lot of soup, that means he made the soup, and no rich man is going to make a lot of soup. But if it's a little bit of soup, then we can. And he's saying it; he got it tithed. That does happen in those days, at least, that they'd give a little soup because sometimes they forget to tithe it, and therefore they have to give a little bit. Shekain derech balabat. That's what he says now. It's the way of householders. Lite ma'at yark mavushal mikteras loni. Some they'll give a little bit of their soup, cooked vegetables, to the poor person if he forgot to tithe the ma'aser ani. When we told Shech Olamer, since he could say balabais nasanali, since he could say that a householder gave it to me, therefore Yech Olamer, he could say ani bishaltiv. He could say I cooked it mimat nosai from the gifts I had, because since he has an excuse of what we could say for what the owner says. Okay, now, next point, a very interesting idea in Halacha Tesvov. We already have said that an Am Oretz is believed to give Truma Gedola. Regular Truma, he is believed. The problem is we don't believe he's going to give Meiser. That's the main problem here. And subsequently, Truma's Meiser. Now let's shift across to a Levi who's an Am Oretz. Okay, so now a Levi who's an Amoritz. So let's analyze what's on the table here. A Levi's Amoritz doesn't ever have to give Truma because he doesn't have any land. The only thing he has is Meiser. And that Meiser, what he gets has been Meisered. He doesn't have to really give anything, but he has to give Truma's Meiser. What the Rambam is going to say in this halacha, that even he will equate the following. Just like we say that a Yisrael Amoritz, we believe that he would separate Truma, because that's a big deal, even though he won't separate, we won't believe them all to separate Truma's Meiser, because they don't think it's that important, but we will equate the Truma of a Yisrael Amoritz to Truma's Meiser of a Levi Amoritz.
That's all he has.
Because that's all he has. And as far as he's concerned, that is like his truma. I mean, it is. And that's the only thing he has to separate. So therefore, he doesn't have to do subsequent separations. And that's basically what the Rambam is going to say in this halacha. V'chein ben Levi. Someone who's a Levi, who's an Amoritz. Sha'amar, and now he has food that's Meiser. And he says, Sha'amar, Peris Elu, me Meiser Rishon, the fruit of crops I have here that I want to give you or sell you, it's Meiser Rishon that I got. Shenitla trumosem, that I took off Trumas Meiser from it. But he is an Amoretz. Harei zeneman le'olam. He is always believed, meaning at any time of the year, as opposed to leket shikhape, only at certain times of the year. That's what it means. Al Trumas Meiser, that Trumas Meiser was given. Kishem Yisrael, just like a Yisrael who's an Amoretz, is neman al Truma Gedola, is believed on giving the Truma Gedola, as we said before. So too he is believed, because in that way, they're very similar. All right? Avol eino neman, but he's now. This is a very trick. Commentaries say we have to make a shift in the middle here. The flow doesn't go nicely. Commentaries struggle with this next line. And so you have to say the next line's like this. Now, what if we're talking about a new topic within the Levi Amoretz? Okay. Let's say you're buying fruits from a Levi, and the Levi got it from somewhere else. It's not his Meiser, because the next line wouldn't make sense if it's his Meiser. You'll see in a minute. But he has other crops, and whatever he got from Yisrael, whatever. And the guy says, okay, you got crops from Yisrael, but are they properly redeemed? So he says, Meiser Sheni was given on it. Like, Meiser Sheni was given on it. So Aval Eino Neman Alav, he's not believed on regular produce, not his, on regular produce to say that Meiser Sheni was given on it, he is not believed on that. Even though he's believed to say that Meiser Rishon was taken off because he's the one who got it, all right, that is his, he doesn't lose anything by saying that because that's what he gets, right? But he's not believed to say that what he has is Meiser Sheni, because that's not the same thing as believing a Yisrael for Meiser Rishon. That we said, remember, he said if Yisrael gives Meiser Rishon, he's believed. And if Amaris, we know, gave Meiser Rishon, we know he's trusted for Meiser Sheni. Because why? Because if he's willing to lose 10%, we'll believe he's going to do the Meiser Sheni. But here, where the Levi doesn't have to pay for anything, and just to trust that he didn't separate Meiser Sheni, that he did separate Meiser Sheni, where he could lose something, because the Levi would have to take Yerushalayim, that if he's an Amoretz, we don't give him believability. As much as we'll believe him that he gave his Trumas Meiser, because he treats that like regular Truma. But if there be a nut, we have to come on to this testimony, something he owns that would have required Meiser Sheni to be taken off by him, and he says so, we don't believe him.
So he doesn't have to do it for the stuff that he gets.
No, but let's say he comes across other stuff that needs to be done. Let's say he got, somebody sold him a grain that was just cut. Okay? So he won't be believed on Meiser Sheni since he's in Amoretz. That's what we're saying, that point there. It doesn't...
But it's not going to cost him anything anyway.
It's a little bit. It's inconvenient and whatever. We're not going to trust him. Just like we're not going to trust an Amoretz. And Amoretz isn't going to do Trumas Meiser Sheni either.
Same ratio.
Meiser Sheni's not going to do either on Amoretz.
Yeah.
Right? Buy from an Amoretz, you assume he didn't do it. So the same thing from a Levi. So we're just equating that. Okay, the next couple halachas, we're shifting to a much worse level person, not just an Amoretz. We're going to we mentioned it just briefly once, a choshud. Really, we suspect the guy. This is not just an Amoretz now. We suspect the guy. It means we've caught him already. It's not just, just feeble suspicions. You see, he did something wrong. So already now he's a choshud, and we haven't seen any amazing tshuva. So that's called a choshud, a suspected one. So let's pick it up from there. So Einad Varmelo, everything we've been talking about all along in this chapter is Hamurim is speaking only where we have certain believabilities. And Amoretz, we have given a number of exceptions in this chapter where we will believe. First of all, we'll believe in Amoretz to give Truma straight away. And there are certain circumstances where he believed, even he gave Trumas Meiser. There's certain levels, Shabbos, whatever, certain levels of believability. So all these not strictnesses, but leniencies by an Amoretz, where we're going to assume he's done certain things, who's not called a suspected guy, for example, or Velo Neman, a guy who's not trusted. In other words, let's say we're not talking about a guy who we caught him selling grain without separating Truma. We caught him, okay? He passed it off as Chulin. All right, or he sold things, and we know we caught him and give Meiser. Okay, so he's not from that crowd of an Amoretz. We believe they said Truma and other things, because the whole concern of an Amoretz is a combination of two things. He's kind of lazy and wants to save a buck. Okay, they're not like rotten people; just lazy guys want to save a buck when they can. It's not even all of them; it's just some Amoretzim. All right. But we don't really suspect an Amoretz. Would an Amoretz mamish take Truma and throw it back into the pile or not give? They're not wicked guys, all right? We're talking guys who we caught them in wickedness, all right? That's the difference. So now there's a tremendous loss of believability for these guys. And that's what we call a choshed. And therefore we say, Avomi shahu choshud limkor truma. If we suspect, we caught a guy selling truma once, l'shem chulin, and passing it off of chulin, then osur likach mimenu klal, you can't buy anything from him. Dover sheyesh bo zikas truma, has any aspect of truma connected to it, umaiser or meiser. Meiser Rishon, Meiser Rishon is not such a problem because the Tzar can eat it. But Meiser Sheni, anything that has any connection to Truma and Meiser, and he could lie, we assume he does lie until he does Tshuva. But otherwise, so he's treated much worse. If he told us on Shabbos that this is Meiser, we won't believe him. That's a filu. This is how far it goes. This is how remotely connected to Truma it is. Afilu kirvei dogim, even juice from fish, because they may put some oil that is truma. So it's a very little bit, but since there could be oil that was truma oil in the fish, we don't believe him. We don't buy anything from him. However, there is one exception, because again, the guy is we know he's a cheater. He's dishonest. But one thing about dishonest people. They're only going to be dishonest when they think they can get away with it. And if they get caught, it's not so bad. But if the risk is high, then they're not going to risk it. Because not that they're tzaddikim, but they can lose a tremendous amount of money. Lots. They could lose their whole crop because of getting caught in a lie. Every liar has a point where he draws the line because he doesn't want to lose everything. So that's what you say, Ve'ino Asr, when we prohibit to believe a chashud, it's Ela Kol Shalafanav. Things that are in front of him, meaning to say he's selling a little bit that's in his house, a little bit that's in his store, and there's not a lot there. And if we catch him, so we'll throw that out. But Avol Atzor, what about his warehouse? And now if he's going to be caught with one little itty-bitty lie in the warehouse, the whole warehouse gets thrown out, and the guy could be lost lose the whole business. So when we're dealing with that, Mutar Likach Menu, you're allowed to buy from him, not because we think he's a wonderful guy, but he's afraid to mix a little truma into the warehouse. Maybe he'll get found out, and then he'll lose the whole thing if he gets caught. And he already is a choshed. So don't you think the FBI is keeping an eye on him? The Balabatim Institute, whatever, is trying to catch these guys. So he's not going to risk it. So that's a choshud for truma. But the same thing. Or we know the guy, he's not that bad, he's going to sell truma. But we know all the time he passes off Meiser Sheni as chulin. We caught him on that. Same thing. We don't buy anything that has any connection to Meiser Sheni, and we say what this is all about. This is a fine rabbinically, that once we catch him once, he's not believed again, unless he does complete tshuva. But other than that, he's got to prove to us that he's a better guy now. And Amaratzim, it's a different story. But this guy, he was caught red-handed with the... two witnesses said, well, we saw he dumped truma right into this pile and he sold the whole thing as chulin. So that's the punish we give to him.
Isn't it the same principle we use, not Jews, that for milk, for like regular milk, that we say they're not going to mix it with anything else? They'll lose all their milk industry.
That is the Ramesh's heter that many rely on. Same idea.
Yeah, exactly. But beer. They're not going to ruin the beer adding in all sorts of other ingredients.
Because if they get caught,
they'll ruin their business.
Correct. Okay, moving on. Yud Zayin. Now, remember we talked about an Amoretz who says about somebody else. Remember we said if Amoretz says this guy does give, that's okay. So let's see, what about a Choshud? The guy who mamish is a crook, but we says somebody else is okay. Choshud Shehid al Shel Acherim. Even a chashid who testifies that somebody else is okay, nemeni is believed. And here we use the same principle. Here's a principle that, remember, why is a crook a crook? Only because he's going to gain by crookeding, right? But here, if we know, it's very important, we're satisfied that there's no tricks going on. And you'd have to know that there's no tricks going on. Then nemeni is believed. Chazaka, we have a rule. Ein adam choy tevel olo. No one sins if he doesn't get any benefit from it. As long as there's no suspicion of kanunya, of trickery, like if we talked about the cattle, the donkey drivers going into towns and saying, he's okay, I'm not okay, whatever. That could be tricks. But no. Ein tzarach lomer, goes without saying, will believe amaretz. For amaretz, because he's not as wicked as the chashid, if he tells somebody else. Levigach, therefore, let's give a couple examples of this. Amaretz. Okay, and if it's only an amaretz now, okay, Sha'amri says, Zeh tevel, here, this is tevel, it's not his, somebody else, Zeh tevel, v'zeh truma. Zeh vadai, this certainly is tevel, and it has to be tithed, v'zeh d'mai, this, I don't know. Afilu b'shalo, oh, look at this, even in his own, Neman, he is believed. Why? Because since he's already said part of his is not believed, we don't assume, is osur. It would appear that he's not suspected of lying. He's believed on the second part. That is a bit of a chiddush, though. Whereas he's selling you two things of crap. He says, I want you to know, this is for sure not tithed, and this has been tithed. So since that is a big chiddush, right? But that's what he's saying. By an amoritz, he's believed.
As long as it doesn't look like they're in collusion again, he says.
Yeah, but he's saying it on his own stuff.
Yeah.
Even though we normally don't believe him, but I guess since he's already showing part of his stuff isn't good, I guess they give him believability. Amar Elu Paris Masoim, he says, these fruits have been correctly tithed, b'shel achem of others. Neman, he's believed. However, v'shelo yero kosekne, but it shouldn't look like there's any suspicious of crookedness, as we already explained earlier with the donkey drivers. Okay, final halacha in this sif. Simon, Perik, Yuches, Hamoicher, Peris, Lechaver, if someone sells fruits to his friend, aha, this is an interesting case. He sells fruits, and the assumption is everything's Kusha V'yusha. Okay, after the guy pays for it, he has it in his hand, he's walking away. Once he sold the thing, Amar, he pipes up, he pipes up to the buyer, says, oh, by the way, Peris, Shechmar, Tilach, you know those fruits I sold to you? Tevelim, it's Tevel. Habasar, you know the meat I sold you? Basar b'chor, that's from a b'chor that's supposed to go to the coin that no one's supposed to eat. Hayayin, yayin I sold you? Yayin esach, goy touched it. Now, the question now is, what happens here? What are we going to say? Is it an invalid sale? Do we retract the sale? How are we going to look at it? So here's an interesting rule. The Rambam, look at the wording. Shuras Hadin, the letter of the law is She'eino Neman. This last thing he said is not believed. Why? Because it's really not in his hands. Very interesting rule. Gemara says, anything that's not in your hands to deal with, then you're not believed. Because as long as he has it, he could be doing something to it. But once it's given it away, he's not believed. Because, it could be maybe the guy's just trying to be nasty now. If he has it, then maybe he could do something with it. I don't know if your commentary adds any more to this.
He says he might want to nullify the sale so he can fulfill the mitzvah of tithing and destroying the forbidden produce. Maybe at second.
Okay, but once it's not in his hands, he can't do anything. Once it's out of his hands, that's it. Afilu hoya moicher chaver. Let's say the seller was even a Talmud Chacham, where you'd assume he's telling the truth. We don't make a difference. If it's not in your hands, that's it. Once it's gone, finished. Because there can always be some kind of whatever. Maybe the Talmud Chacham wants to tithe it himself. Right? That's it. But that's according to the letter of the law. But Vazor is one who is alacritous to perform mitzvahs properly. Machmer al atzmo, he'll be strict on himself. V'im haminu, and if the buyer really believes the seller, then I raise him a shuvach. It is praiseworthy for him to tithe it. Afilu hayu amoich amoretz, even if the seller was an amoretz, it also should be tithed. So in other words, once you sell it and he didn't say anything, we don't assume that the guy is telling the truth once it's left his hands. Now, that's really needs a little of an analysis. What if the guy comes around and says, I made the biggest mistake. Yeah. I mixed it up with that. I thought it was, column A and I gave you column B. Again, seems to Rambam, you don't have to believe him, according to the letter of the law. You don't have to believe him, because the assumption was it was good. You were buying it, but if you want to be machmir, you definitely would be machmir, and you would tithe it. Doesn't seem you could ask him to what do you call it, to negate the sale.
Yeah.
Since according to the law, we assume it's good. Since halacha is we assume it's good, you can't say it was a mekach tos. So then it's not mekach tos. You can't ask for your money back. You could ask, but the guys, even go to business, not going to help.
Isn't there a difference if he says, oh, you know what, I made a mistake, I got it mixed up, as opposed to, oh, it's telling.
Yes, it could be. Because it seems the wording here was...
He's just being nasty.
It's just Tevel. Yeah. By the way, it's Tevel. Yeah, but yeah. If I would imagine, the guy says, oh, yeah, that's a terrible mistake. But then again, the guy already would want to exchange it back. I mean, if you're the seller, say, oh, I took the wrong pile. Quick, take it back and I'll, you know. Then,
can you, without separating, give it back to him? Didn't we have this before?
Well, that's okay. Someone has to separate it. I know, but it wasn't the same over there.
The guy who bought it now has to separate it to give it back.
But it was never tithed. If it was never tithed, that's not a problem.
No, but he's got to take the loss. He's got to give him back. He's got to separate and give him back.
Well, but maybe that's a mekach tos, though. This might be a real...
Never sale in the first
place. Yeah, it'd be a real never sale in the first place. Okay, we'll stop it over here. Next, tomorrow, we go to exceptions in the rule of demise, specifically hefker and things in chutz l'aretz.